Great Men's Footsteps. Wasn't till Rikka was walking up the steep cobbled way from the harbour that she realised how much she missed Ulfrith. Missed the sea's smell and the gull's clamour, missed knowing every street and face, missed her father. His memory had been getting hazy in the echoing space of Scarling's Hall, in the grand salons of Adua. Here it rushed back so sharp she wanted to cry. For the first time in a long time, she felt like she was home. She wandered beneath the carved rafters where she and Leo had sat together as children. Her fingertip left a snaking trail through the dust on the seat where her father had given his judgments. She stepped from the shadows and into the sunny garden and dropped down on the time-grade bench, frowning off towards the sea. Spring had been busy. The garden was overgrown again, just like it always used to be. The stuff her father planted all erupted in a messy riot, nothing like his plans. A creeper had slipped free from the crumbling wall and spilled white flowers across his grave. He'd have laughed to see it, most likely, and said, "Time makes fools of us all." She thought of the girl she'd been when Isern took her up into the hills to prove she had the long eye. Foolish and twitchy and soft, ignorant about so many things. No bones and no brains, maybe, but a good heart. She touched her fingertips to the tattoos on her face. So much changed. She wondered if it was really for the better.
"Your father loved this plot."
Shivers stood in the doorway, arms folded. "Nor'd he like more than sitting back and watching things grow," she said.
"It's grown all right."
"Aye, well, he never had much time for weeding, what with all the wars he got dragged into."
"True enough. But you've made the whole north your garden now."
Shivers shook his head like he could hardly believe it.
"Reckon he'd be proud."
"Would he? After all I've done. Black Rikka, they call me."
"A proud name."
"A name they hung on a killer because he was the worst man in the north."
"It's just a name. It'll be what you make of it."
"Aye, I guess." And Rikka slumped with her elbows on her knees and her chin propped in her hands. "Did I do the right thing, Shivers?"
"You're asking the wrong man, I reckon."
"I'm asking the only one I trust."
"'Cause I done so much of the wrong thing."
"Shows you know the difference, don't it?"
"Not sure there is one."
He sank down on the bench beside her.
"It's a comfort telling yourself there's some big right thing out there, that you could seek some wise old bastard in the mountains who's got the answer. Then there'd be no need for doubts and regrets."
He looked sideways, sunlight glinting off his metal eye.
"But far as I can tell, it ain't that simple. Right things, wrong things, well, it's all a matter of where you stand. Every choice is good for some, bad for others. And once you're chief, you can't just do what's good for you or those you love. You have to find what's best for most, worst for fewest. Like your father tried to, and with no magic eye to see the outcome."
He sat back, one leg stretched out, and looked towards the sea, breeze stirring the grey hair about his craggy face.
"Doubts and regrets, they're the cost of casting a shadow. The only folk without them are dead. For what it's worth, I'd say you did the best you could."
Rikka looked towards her father's grave and winced.
"Then why does it hurt so much?"
"Said you did your best. Didn't say it wouldn't hurt. One thing I can tell you,"
and he frowned down at that ring on his little finger,
"doing your worst feels no better."
"By all the fucking dead, don't tell me you're sitting here pining."
Isern strutted into the garden, Chagas squelch squelching as she worked her jaw. Rikka ground her own teeth. She was tiring of the sound of Isern if fail being right.
Doubts and regrets, Isern. They're the cost of casting a shadow.
Surely, but you've no time to indulge yours. You've the whole north to lead from the darkness and into the moon's silvery favour. Tell me this, what else could you have done?
Nothing,
grunted Rikka, slumping further into her hands, flicking the ring through her nose with a fingertip so it knocked against her lip.
Nothing at all.
Hadn't stopped her turning it over every spare moment since they set off from Adua. Didn't stop her turning it over now.
Brought him back here,
sang Isern in a voice leaking mockery.
Put a string on him like a puppy. How'd you keep a king of the Union secret? He'd have drawn trouble like a ram's arse draws flies, d'ye see, and folk here would have blamed you for that trouble and called you a selfish bitch thinking with her a quim, and said this is what you get when you're fool enough to put a woman in charge, and they'd have been right. Selfishness and folly. All we've worked for would have done like cake in a hailstorm and turned to soggy shit. This way, you've got peace. And not just for you, peace for all.
The same arguments Isern had whispered in her ear that morning, while Orso lay sleeping in her bed, helpless, all his trust put in her. She'd been right then, and she was right now, and Rikka knew it, and it only made her grind her teeth harder.
I know that, she snapped. Said there was nothing else I could have done, didn't I?
Then why do you look like you ate a thistle?
I know it with my head.
But what? Your heart hurts? Told you to make a stone of it, didn't I?
You might have uttered the phrase a time or two, growled Rikka.
Isern didn't notice her bubbling anger, or more likely didn't care.
We need to get back to Scarlin's Hall.
And she planted her hands on her hips and frowned at the garden like it was a midden.
That's where the big choices are made. That's where Scarlin turned down a crown, and Bethod took one up. Where Black Dow stole the north from the Bloody Nine. Where you stole it from Stour Nightfall. Every corner of the place covered in great men's footsteps.
No. Rikka was shocked, almost, that she said it. But the moment she made the choice, she was sure of it.
The only place those great men's footsteps lead is round and round in circles of blood, she said. The only history there is violence and betrayal. Send to Hardbread and the rest. Tell him I'm staying here.
The North is ruled from Scarlin's chair.
Same thing goes for great men's arses as great men's feet. It's just a chair.
The North is ruled from Carlion, grumbled Isern, jutting her lip out in a mighty frown.
It was. Now it'll be ruled from Ufrith, close to the sea, where we can reach out to other lands, and I can take a paddle when I'm in the mood.
Paddle, by the dead! Shivers tell her! But all Shivers did was shrug.
Great folk are great because they plant new footsteps, not because they blunder through the same mistake some other bastards made.
Isern made a long hiss of disgust.
Folk won't like it, won't understand it.
That's their lookout, said Rikka, waving it angrily away. It's a mistake.
It's mine to make.
You don't know what you...
Enough!
Snarled Rikka, standing up tall and facing Isern, fists clenched.
I'm Black Rikka, and I'm the one with the long eye. I'm the one killed Stour Nightfall. I'm the one beat Black Calder. I make the choices, not you. Me.
She snarled it in Isern's face and stabbed at her chest with a finger.
If I choose to rule the North from a midden sitting on a piss bucket, that's how it'll be. If I choose to follow the footsteps my father left in this garden, that's how it'll be. If I choose to make my heart a bleeding fucking sponge, then by all the dead Isern Ifail, that,
and she spat the word like a curse,
is how it will be.
There was a long silence then. just the gulls calling and the sea rolling in and the faint pulse of angry blood in Ricka's head. The smile started as a crinkle at the corners of Isern's eyes, then it spread to her mouth, to her cheeks, till it was right across her face.
Finally! I'd a worry you'd never get there!
Ricka closed her eyes.
So that was a bloody lesson too, was it?
Aye, a little bit.
Isern grinned as she offered out a chagger pellet.
With any luck, the last you'll need.
Shivers slapped his thighs and stood with a grunt.
You really gonna rule sitting on a piss bucket?
Maybe I will,
said Ricka, taking a breath and looking out to sea. But tell Hardbread to bring Scarlin's chair down here, just in case.